Thank you, Mr. Snyder. I don't know how extraordinary I am. Good afternoon and happy Sabbath. Brethren and our friends and brethren watching on the webcast. Yesterday, this nation celebrated its annual 4th of July Independence Celebration. Independence Day. Well, today I will talk about true independence. The title of this message is Miracles from the Jordan River. The Jordan River is special to God. It is mentioned 185 times in Scripture. Its significant relative portion flows from the southern part of the Sea of Galilee, 156 miles southward to the Dead Sea. Its average width is 33 feet. Its average depth is 6.5 feet, with 17 feet being the maximum depth. Now, where it starts from the Sea of Galilee, that's only about 15 miles east of Nazareth, where we know who was born. Okay, so, unlike the mighty Amazon and Mississippi rivers and others, this river is what I would call a humble river. Yet this humble river is associated with some amazing miracles through God's mighty power. Of the significant events which occurred, I will mention a couple here and three more in depth shortly. As when in 2 Kings chapter 5, Elijah, the chief prophet, was transferring his authority to Elisha, his successor, and the cloak, a furry garment, was used by Elijah to part the waters of the Jordan River so that the two can cross on dry land to the other side. After Elijah was taken up into the sky, the first heaven, a fiery chariot and fiery horses separated the two men, and Elijah was taken into the sky in a whirlwind. The cloak fell down to Elisha. He then used the cloak to part the water of the Jordan River again, and in front of the sons of the prophets, crossed back on dry land. And those sons of the prophets, they had 50 valiant people with them, men with them. In 2 Kings 6, a loose axe head came off the handle, sank down, and it was caused to float back up to the surface so the worker can retrieve that borrowed tool. Miracles. Let's delve briefly into three other miraculous occasions. The first precedes the first two noted and occurs after the 40 years of wandering by the children of Israel before 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel entered the promised land and spied out the land of Canaan for 40 days and brought back a report of the city, the peoples, and some produce. We know that when reading the events in Numbers 13 and 14, that during the report, Caleb, who had a different spirit in him, and Joshua urged the congregation to enter in and possess the promised land. The other 10 spies, they cried out in alarm, rejecting the promised land. So the consequence of refusing to enter into the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is now called Israel, and desiring a select a leader to take them back to Egypt. Well, that consequence was pronounced by God. God said that none of the people of 20 years and older who have seen God's miracles in Egypt and since to that time would enter the promised land, except for Caleb and Joshua, but would wander around and die in the wilderness for 40 years, each year for a day that the 10 spies were in the promised land. They shall know God's rejection. Only the children and wives whom the people accused God and Moses for bringing them from Egypt into the wilderness to become victims, they would enter the promised land. So now in Joshua chapter 3, after the 40 years of wandering, the children of Israel were set to cross over the Jordan opposite of Jericho. Now, if you know the geography, you have the Jordan River. To the west is Jericho. To the east is the wilderness. Okay. Now, this was about five to seven miles north of the Dead Sea. So in Joshua chapter 3, the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth went forth 2,000 cubits, or approximately 3,000 feet, if a cubit is 18 inches. When the priest's feet bearing the Ark stepped into the overflowing river's water's edge, because it was the runoff during that the planting season, the harvesting season, the water flowing from the upstream on their right, because they're moving west, on their right, and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, a town or a city. And the downstream waters were cut off, and the soles of the priest's feet were on firm, dry ground. They went forward, and all the children of Israel crossed completely over the Jordan on dry land. A miracle. A second example of God's mighty power of the Jordan River, and a miracle, involves a pagan named Naaman. Naaman in Hebrew means pleasantness. Well, Naaman, that's a funny name. I said it 50 times today. The commander of the army for the king of Syria, he had leprosy. He was an honorable man and a valiant warrior. Now, this story can be read in 2 Kings 5. By him, God had given victory to Syria. He was a leper. On one of the Syrian raids, a young Hebrew girl was brought back to Syria from Israel, and she became a maid to the Naaman's wife. Well, on one of the, the young girl exclaimed to the mistress, "Oh, if my master were," meaning Naaman, "was with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Now, Naaman went to the king of Syria and told him what the girl said. And the king said, "Go." G-O, not N-O. Now, Naaman took with him a letter from the king of Syria and 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold. That's approximately 750 pounds of silver and 150 pounds of gold. Naaman went first to the king of Israel, who panicked, being asked to heal the commander of leprosy. He panicked, he tore his clothes, and Elisha heard about that. News traveled fast when that happens. And he asked for the man, Naaman, to go to him, and he'll show him there is a prophet in Israel. Naaman goes to the house where Elisha was staying, and Elisha sent a messenger to him. Tell him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And his flesh will be restored to him, and he will be clean. How do you think Naaman took that? He became furious, and he went away saying to himself, "Surely he will come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." And he was saying, "Are not the rivers in Syria better than all the rivers in Israel? Couldn't I not wash in them and be clean?" He went away in a rage. His servants, plural, came to him and said, "If the prophet had told you something great, would you not do it? And how much more then when he says, wash and be clean?" So, Naaman, he He was an honorable man, so he listened to his servants. He says, yeah, why not? So he went and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan River, and his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a young child. And he was clean. Now he returned to Elisha, and he stood before him with all his aides and said, indeed, I know that there is no God in all the earth except here in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. Elijah adamantly refused. Naaman said he would no longer offer either a burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. He even asked forgiveness from the Lord for when he goes in with the king of Syria to the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he must bow down with the king. Elisha said to him, go in peace. Miracles. The last lesson of miracles from the Jordan River I'll mention today is also the greatest miracle. The baptism of Jesus. John the Baptist was baptizing at a site known, mentioned in John 1:28, Bethany beyond the Jordan. Remember this in your mind. They're in Israel. The Jordan's east of Israel. Bethany beyond the Jordan. Bethany's on the Israel side of the river. Beyond the Jordan means the other side of the river. About 5 to 6 miles north of the Dead Sea and east of Jericho. Does that location sound familiar? It should. It's where God had Joshua lead the remnant of the children of Israel into the promised land opposite Jericho. I think that's fascinating. Jesus was 30 years old, and by the way, this is not the first time I learned that. Jesus was 30 years old, and this baptism was not required of him because he did no sin, but to have to be buried. So we can read it in this event in Matthew 3:13. He wanted to publicly do this as an example for all who followed him. He told John the Baptist to permit it for now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended like a dove and sat on him. And suddenly a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Notice, Jesus did not hang around in fellowship. He was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. The same wilderness that the children of Israel passed through to go across that same location into the promised land. The miracle of baptism shows us who are called to understand that to attain the promise made before anything was created, that promise being eternal life with the Father and Jesus his Son, our baptism is a crucial step toward that promise. It should forever commemorate our calling to follow Christ Jesus as he does the Father, to recognize we have sinned and to commit to God, we know what the wages of sin is, and to repent fully from breaking God's law, his royal law, to bury our past sins in that watery grave and ascend up out of the water as a new person, our life belonging to the one who paid the penalty for those sins. What a miracle. In summary, brethren and friends, let's turn together to Matthew 4. And we'll read verses 4, 7, and 10. Matthew 4, 4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, it's written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And now verse 10, this is what he said to Satan, and I've said it before. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. This nation celebrated its independence annually on the 4th of July. We, the called out ones who are baptized, can claim our independence daily based on God's word, his promises, and our commitment to the way. That is true independence, a miracle. Let's do it.